Praise God. Oh, there we go. Good job. Good to see you this evening. That's how I felt. Good to see you. Praise the Lord. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you so much for the word. We thank you that your word instructs us and your word reveals to us as who we are. And Father, we also acknowledge that it's just not who we are in Christ, but it's who we are together in Christ. And we thank you, Father, for giving us a family. We have a family that we're brothers and sisters together in the Lord. Thank you, Father, for the people that you've put in our lives. Hallelujah. Together we are the body of Christ. And Father, we ask you to reveal to us tonight the truth you'd have us to see. We open our eyes, we open our ears, we open the eyes and ears of our hearts to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God, you can be seated. Yeah, y'all have heard me talk about our Chinese exchange student that came and stayed with us for 5 weeks. And one of the things that was so interesting to me when he was with us is how he identified himself. Because see, I'm an American, and the one thing that I have seen about Americans that differs from a lot of peoples in the world is that we are individualist. And we think of ourselves as individuals. It's me. It's mine. This is, you know, we have a real sense of, you know. Years ago, Matt and I went to Japan, and we were in Tokyo and then up in the northern part of Japan. And one of the things that we experienced there was seeing people stand. I don't know if they say stand online or in line. I say in line. So people standing in line. And in the U.S., if we line up for something, unless they're just about to open the door, we may try to get it in a straight line, but most of the time we're just sort of in puddles, you know, in groups. I mean, you know, and kind of crowding around. We don't like the whole concept, but they would be standing in line for the bus or for public transport, and they would literally be in a perfectly straight line one after the other. And that was amazing to me. And it, you know, I guess when you live in a place where there's so many people so close together, you sort of develop ways of doing things that's different than how we are. You know, all of us are spoiled. We have a lot of room. We have a lot of space. And they're a lot of that land is not inhabitable. So they live on the coastlands and they're kind of all squished together, so to speak. Highly, you know, dense population. Well, our Chinese student that was with us, that was one thing I kept noticing about him is the way he identified himself and the way he related. And it's just interesting things about cultures. I know you've been in different cultures. It's just really interesting. But I would ask him questions and he would not respond by saying, well, I so and so. He would respond by saying, well, Chinese students, blah, blah, blah. Or Chinese people. So one night we're sitting at dinner and I ask him, you know, because I know our food is very different than the food he's accustomed to. And so I ask him, I say, so did you like that? You know, are you happy with this? Are you, you know, satisfied with what we're feeding you? I don't remember exactly how I said it. And he said to me this statement. He said, well, there are some Chinese people who love American food. And I am one of them. And I just sat there kind of dumbfounded. I'm like, that is one very strange way to respond instead of saying, I like it. But before he said I, he identified himself as being part of this big group of Chinese people. You would ask him things about school and he would begin his sentence by saying, well, Chinese students. And then he would tell me what Chinese students do. He would not just say, oh, I go to school because they attend school from 7:30 in the morning until 9:30 at night. Yes, they eat all their meals at school. That's their school day. Just tell that to your kid next time he's complaining. So just incredible. And we could just go on and on about what they do. But anyway, but he would begin every sentence that I would, instead of saying, well, I do this, he would never say I. He would always say Chinese students, so much so that it just became a joke at our house when somebody would ask me a question and I'd say, well, Chinese students, and then I'd answer, you know, because it was, wasn't it, man? It was just so funny. But I realized he had a completely different way of identifying himself and seeing himself than we do or than, you know, American students. Or you know, I've never had... Even my kids, they don't go, well, the students at my school, blah, blah, blah. They don't do that. It's me, you know. Well, I bring all this up because you know, we, whether it's our American culture or if it's just the way we see ourselves, we are very much individualist and we see us, me, I, mine. I think on Sunday, Matt was ministering. He was talking about transforming grace and he was talking about how being gracious to other people, particularly being gracious in the church to each other. And he talked about selfishness. Do you remember what you define selfishness as being? Nothing like putting you on the spot in the moment. I can't recall right now exactly what it was you said. Did any of you write that down? Oh, you, doing things for your advantage, lacking consideration for others. That's what selfishness is. Lacking consideration for others. Now let's just take that for just a moment. When he said that, it really struck. I'd never heard that quite that way. Lacking consideration for others. What it means is you fail to consider others. Selfishness means I'm just considering me. It doesn't even mean that when I'm being selfish, it doesn't mean that I have something against you. It doesn't mean that I'm purposely trying to be mean to you. It doesn't mean that, well, you know, I don't like Jose, so I'm going to hold on to this. It's just, I'm not even considering Jose. The only person I'm considering is me. And that's what selfishness is. My eyes are on me. Me first. What are my needs? What are my desires? And so that selfishness, when I'm more focused on me, when my focus is on me and I'm considering me, that's selfishness. That's where my consideration is. And I lack consideration for others. And in a local church, selfishness would be you consider you, your benefit, what's in it for me, how you feel about it, and you're failing to consider others. You're failing to consider the people down the row. You're failing to consider the kids that are over here. You're failing to consider anybody else. It's just you. That's all you can see. And so I want to talk about that a little tonight because that really struck me when he was talking about that on Sunday. And then I started thinking about my little Chinese student and how he in his thinking, he thinks in a different way. He's just been trained with this kind of group thinking. Now, you know, whatever your thought is about that, I don't really care. Because really, I think probably the way he thinks is more scriptural than the way we think. Now, you probably can't say that about a lot of the things that a godless culture does. But I think that might actually be a little more scriptural. Now, turn, if you will. The first passage I want you to turn to is Ephesians chapter 3. And I want to read to you a couple of scriptures here. These are some of the scriptures that when you read in the Bible, they aren't talked about, they aren't preached very often. They're not like the main scriptures you can quote. Probably when I read it, it'll sound familiar, but you probably couldn't have told me where it is. It's not John 3:16, it's not Philippians 4:13, 4:19, it's not a Mark 11:23. You know, it's not that kind of a scripture. But yet, all scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. All scripture has value. And I want you to see these scriptures because we're going to talk about these for a moment. Ephesians chapter 3, I'm reading in the New King James, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Paul, the apostle, writing to the church at Ephesus. And he's saying, in other words, this is why I'm praying. And I love how he is almost the poetic way. I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I love that verse. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Do you know that we're part of a family? You know, we say we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And my grandparents, they were Pentecostal, both sides of my family, all four of my grandparents. And I grew up. And I just thought that people in church always referred to each other as Brother Kennedy, Sister Kennedy, Brother Spivey, Sister Spivey. That was my way I saw that people did at church because my grandparents, that's what they called my grandparents' best friends. Their names were the Clements. They lived down in Barnwell. And my grandparents would go visit them and they'd come up to see my grandparents. They were their best friends and they called them Brother and Sister Clements. And they called my grandparents Brother and Sister Kennedy. I don't know what these people's first names were. I'm not sure my grandparents did. But they just called each other brother and sister. And you could say, oh, that sounds religious. And today, if we walked in here and we were calling it would sound sort of religious. But I understood they knew what that meant. that came from somewhere in them where they were identifying, you're not just my neighbor, you're not just my friend, you are my brother. And it was a sign of honor and respect. Mm-hmm. And to call someone your brother or your sister is a sign of, that's a sign of intimacy, it's a sign of acceptance. You're saying something to somebody to say, you're my brother. Yeah. And they would call each other brother and sister. And have any of y'all heard that, people in church calling each other brother and sister? And names, when I was a kid, I just thought that was what everybody did. And then I grew up and that wasn't what everybody did. And that's okay. But we are part of a family. And this family exists, not just here. We have a little part of the family that's gathered here at Good News Church. We are family. We could sing the Sister Sledge song, but we won't. But we are family. And we'd have to add brothers in. But not just all my sisters and me, but my brothers too. But we are family, but you know, we're part of the family, and the family's scattered all over the world, but also the family's in heaven. That's just amazing, the family we're in. We're in the family of God. You know, what is it, that little song that kids sing? No, that's not the right song. I can't get to it in my mind. But anyway, basically that we're all God's children, and that we're all, you know, that we're all God's children. And the truth is that we are not all God's children. God has a family, but you're not born into the family of God when you're born on planet Earth. You're reborn into the family of God when you're born again, when you're regenerated, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Then you actually become a child of God. This is from the Bible. You and me both know it. You can go through and prove that out. And at that point, we're not just born into being children of God. We are born as, actually, in the family of God, we are born as brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we're born again into the family. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. We may be naturally kin, but a higher level of kinship is our brotherhood and sisterhood in the Lord. Isn't that just cool? That we're all a family. Sometimes I think about that one day when all this part of, you know, time and history is over and we're all gathered together, it's going to be family. Right. It's not going to be those weird people over there and we're family. And you know what it's like when you're with family? Crazy. It can be crazy. Well, I'm not talking about your family. No, just kidding. I'm only kidding. You know, there is in a healthy family, a God, you know, a healthy family with the love of God, you know, there is love. Yes. There's openness. Mm-hmm. There's affirmation and encouragement. There's that acceptance. There's just something about that. This family. And not this past weekend, but the one before, both our daughters came home from work. You know, they live away, and they both came home. And it was so good to be together with family, and the feeling you have when the family gathers. And when, you know, that you, Candy, you and your sisters, there's something about family getting together. And we're all going to get together, and we're going to be family. And I'm telling you, that's awesome. But, you know, in the meanwhile, the family's gathering. We gathered tonight. Now, not the whole family, but some of the families come in. We've come in tonight. We've gathered. We gather regularly. This part of the family. We're going to gather on Sunday morning. We're going to be really all one time, and we're going to be one family. We're all part of a bigger family, but yet a lot of the family I don't know. You ever been to that family reunion? I remember we used to go to my tall granny's family reunion. And, well, it was actually my granddaddy's family reunion, too, because, interesting fact, y'all probably have this in your family. In my family, my grandmother and her two brothers married my grandfather and his two sisters. So there were three siblings from each family that married. Do y'all have that out in the country? You just, you know, go next door, and if they had kids, you'd marry up. You know, that's kind of how it was. Yeah, so my mom has two sets of double first cousins, which is good if you need a kidney or something, you know, keep that in mind. Well, more people to test. Well, you just hope. So anyway, you know, so we had that in what was that about? What is that? Oh, I know. We used to go to these family reunions, and you know, you're a little kid. I know you know what I mean. And you're meeting these people, and they're telling you who they are. You don't know, and really you don't care. You just don't want them to pinch you or do something weird to you, you know. And so, but you're there and you're meeting family you don't know. But something about the fact that these people are your family makes you feel like you belong to something. And we all belong to something. And so I'm telling you, not only do we belong to God, but we belong to each other. See, sometimes the enemy tries to isolate you, get you on the loan. He shoots these fiery darts of thoughts at your head going, oh, nobody cares about you. And, you know, and all that kind of thinking comes. And when that's happening, you're failing to realize that you have family. You have brothers and sisters. You have family. You have people that love you and accept you. And see, it's the enemy that tells you nobody cares about you. And sometimes, I mean, have you ever had that thought that if you know, just only God cares about me? Well, but it's never the truth. That is not the truth. Because you are part of a family and you can't get away from it. Now, I know some of us, we have moments where we'd like to get away from our natural family. And probably there are times you want to get away from maybe your spiritual family for whatever reason. But I'm going to tell you, we're strongest when we're together. There's strength when we're together. And there's goodness that's together. And you know, there's some things that only happen when we're together. And that's really the lesson that I see so much in the first part of Acts. Pastor Matt talked about that on Sunday, about them coming together with one heart, one soul, and one accord. You see that there were some things that only happened when they were together. And that's part of the thinking behind why we're coming together as one for one service for a season, so that we can partake of some of the things that only happen when we're together. All of us together, just reconnecting. And so we have that oneness. We're part of a family. You're not just you on your own, just, you know, Joe Christian by yourself. You belong to a family. People that don't have even a church family, they're missing out on so much. You know, maybe you don't see it in your day-to-day life. Maybe people don't recognize it. But you get something serious that you're having to deal with. You go, I tell you, you have to go through a funeral, a time where a loved one is gone. And I tell you, we have that often where we deal with families that they're not part of a church. It's so sad when people don't have a pastor, don't have a church. That, you know, those are critical times when you see, boy, that sure would have helped at that time. Just that the comfort that comes from having people around you that love you, that have, you know, that spiritually love you, not just natural family, but spiritual family, that oneness that comes. He said, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We're part of a family. Praise God. Now, I do want to note, we don't have a whole bunch of time here tonight. I'm going to read something else. But I do want to note, this is Ephesians 3, 14 and 15. I'm not going to take time to read down, because if you continue reading, you read the prayer that Paul prayed. Because he said he was bowing his knee. That's prayer, you know, symbolizing prayer. And he's telling us how he prayed. But if you keep following this and read it in context, you get to verse 20. Then has anybody ever heard of verse 20? Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. It doesn't say that works in me or that works just over in you. He said in us. There's something about us being together. If you read this, the context in which this is written, he started it by talking about how we are a family. We are together a family, and there is a power from God that works, and it's an amazing power that does astonishing things. It's that above all you can ask or think, and Amplified says hope or dream or pray. That power, it works in us. So I think as we come together as one, we'll see more Ephesians 3:20. Do you see what I'm saying? I think it is more reasonable to expect Ephesians 3:20 in our lives when we're together, when we're working together, when we're in fellowship, when we are, you know, not considering just ourselves, but considering the family. You know, at the very least, like my Chinese student would say, well, Chinese students, blah, 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 and I, at the very least, we should think, well, in the body of Christ, blah, 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 and I. But we should first and foremost consider that we're part of the body of Christ. We're part of the family of God. And identify ourselves first and foremost as being part of a big body, His body. And then go to us. Boy, there's just some strength in it. There's something that when you start seeing the world from that perspective, things change, your priorities change, and you start actually considering others. And you start considering what Matt talked about Sunday morning, the big picture, that this isn't just about me. It's not just if I'm offended with Georgette or Georgette's offended with me. We're part of a body, so we're affecting a whole body. And we're certainly affecting a local body. Just like if you've ever had family members who are at odds with each other. Any of y'all ever had that? Man, look at all those nodding heads. When family members are at odds, it's not just those two family members that are affected. Is that right? No, it affects the body. And that's the same thing that happens because we are one family. We are one body. This is good preaching tonight. You know, I just have to say it sometimes. All right, now let's just turn back to Romans. Romans is, I say back just because it goes to the left. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. New King James is what I'm reading. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Y'all ever heard that verse? Verse 2, I bet you've heard this. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You ever heard you have to renew your mind? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You ever heard about that? Proving the good and acceptable and perfect will of God? You ever had the thought, hey, I'd like to do that. I'd like to actually walk in the good, acceptable, hey, you think I could ever walk in the perfect will of God? Well, let's keep reading. For I say, you do understand Paul's still writing. These were letters written. These weren't just sporadic verses gathered together. This is a letter he's writing. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who's among you, even that phrase, everyone who is among you. He's talking to the group. See, we just take it all in the context of, oh, he's just talking to me. No, he's talking to a church, the church at Rome, the Romans, that not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. See, isn't this interesting that he's talking about renewing your mind? Well, first of all, presenting yourself. And then the next, renewing your mind in the will of God. And what does he launch off into talking about? Your place in the body, being part of a body. I've preached Romans 12 too, many dozens of times, and I don't think I've ever preached it in the context in which he has written it, to go about thinking your mind, having your mind renewed, and what is he talking about? To think, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. This is one of the things he's talking about renewing your mind to, is start thinking of yourself as part of a family. You're part of a body. Isn't that interesting? Am I the only one ever saw that? Or think, you know, that maybe y'all known that all the time. Why did y'all come tonight? You already knew this. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. We talked about that last week. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Remember, we talked about that last week. Let me read you these verses in the message. It says this. Can you get to the message? Verse 4. In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole. Now that's interesting, just that one little phrase. Because honestly, tonight, if we had a liver up here in a jar, we would all look at that liver and go, well, some of you would say, I've never seen that before. And then we'd all look at, well, what is that? Oh, that's a liver. Oh my goodness. You know, we'd have a lot to say about it. But you know, a liver in a jar, other than maybe the scientific study or the interest, what good is it? The liver only has function when it's in the body. Now think about that. Think about yourself. Then how much really can you function when you're not functioning within the body? It says each part, not only can you function? It gets its meaning from the body as a whole. And that's part of what I was trying to communicate last week is, if you're really looking for your place in life is not unto yourself, and you'll never find your place in, you know, in an isolated environment, because your place is a hookup with other parts. That's just the way it is. No man is an island. No man stands alone. Okay, I would sing that song too. It is a song I learned at grade school. Okay. It gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. See, we think that the body gets its meaning from the people, but actually the people get their meaning from the body. See, even the local church. The local church is a body, and this body has a meaning. And everyone who's a part of this local church, you draw part of the meaning of your place in the body of Christ, and your part in the meaning of your life is impacted by this place. If this is your place, if this is your place to be, your body, then part of the meaning of your life comes from this. Not that this, the church gets its meaning because of who showed up. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? I'll go ahead and read more. So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. We talked about that last week. Now, if you keep on reading, he talks about what we should do with our gifts. Let's go back over to, well, we'll just stay in the message, It says in verse 9, let's go down to verse 9. It says, love from the center of who you are. Now see, now he's going into giving us some tips on getting along with each other. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. That's what you were talking about on Sunday. Being good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. See, and that's what I kept hearing from my Chinese student. He was always second fiddle to the whole. He was second, and I would ask him questions. Here's something interesting. When I would ask him questions, because there were 5 students that came to this area, I would ask him questions about the other students. He would start his discussion of them by talking about Chinese students, and then he would go into them. So, He was part of the whole. They were part of the whole. So he related to them as a fellow Chinese student. It wasn't just Tom over there. No, it was Tom, part of the body. I'm part of the body. Tom's part of the body. I relate to him as part of the body, not just Susie and is she offended with Tom, or Susie, does she, you know. You understand? It wasn't just as individuals. It was, we are part of the body. We belong together. It's a different way of thinking, you guys. It's a different way of seeing yourself. It's a different, you know, it's not natural. It doesn't come naturally for us, because that's not the way we were brought up. Verse 10 there in the New Living says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Now, when's the last time you thought about doing that? Taking delight in honoring others. That means it delights you to honor someone else. It delights you to put them first. It delights you to consider them instead of considering yourself. Honestly, is that where we get our delight? I would bet you tonight, if I ask you before I read this, name 10 things that utterly delight you, that it's highly unlikely that on everybody in here, our top 10 things wouldn't be, not one of us would mention honoring others as part of our delight. It wouldn't have just naturally been on my list, but I'm telling you, he says, take delight in honoring each other. To show honor to you would delight me. Wow. No wonder we need to renew our minds, huh? Then, you know, he goes on and says a lot of other things, which I don't think I'm going to actually read. But I encourage you to read through these. Let's go down. I do want to read one. I want to read Romans 12. We're still writing there. Just go down to verse 15. Because this is a verse that I think we can, you know, really latch hold of, because there's a lot of things in here that we could spend some time on, and maybe we will in the next weeks. But verse 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Now, that's like a practice that's common in families, isn't it? Isn't that something that would be, you know, common in families? You know, my sons, they have cell phones, and whenever they're taking a test and they get a score back or something, they'll text me and tell me their score so I can rejoice. Hopefully not weep. Every now and then there's the weeping, you know, and you're trying to console them a little bit. But, you know, when someone in your family, you know, if something good happens, Carol and Georgette are sisters. And when something, when the house burned, other than calling Neil, who did you call?
Carol.
You called Carol. I found out about it because Carol's making a mad dash over there to you and calls me, or Eddie, one of them. See, that's what natural family does, isn't it? You call when something's going, you call. Now, whenever something really good happens in your life, Candy, do you call your sisters? You know, now we do have to acknowledge not all of us have those kind of family relationships where we have somebody to call, you know, and when we do what? But, and that's your family, Facebook family. People write that. People write on Facebook, my Facebook family. Do you see them write that?
Yeah.
That's funny. But you know, when something's good and you want to rejoice, you find somebody that cares about you to share it with. Because you know, if they care about me, they will rejoice with me. If they care about me, they'll weep with me. Isn't that right? If people care about me. And see, he's writing here, not to a natural family that shares genetic material. He's writing to a real family, the family of God that shares the most deep, you know, the deepest part of us. We're born of the same spirit. How much more should we rejoice for each other? How much more should we show care or weep for each other? It's scriptural. You ever had somebody give you a testimony and you just get so excited it's like it happened to you? Do you know what's happening? Romans 12. You ever had somebody tell you something and it just broke your heart? You find yourself weeping. You're almost like embarrassed because you're crying, tearing up. I've been on the phone with people and they tell me stuff. I have to get off the phone because I'm so choked up I can't talk. It's embarrassing to me. You know what I'm saying? Because you feel, you're like, I'm an adult. I can't say anything. I'm all choked up here. What's happening to me? Romans 12. That's actually very scriptural, what's happening there. Praise God. Now, I want to conclude with something here. Remember we read Ephesians 3:20 a moment ago? Andrew, you want to put Ephesians 3:20 back up? Why don't you put it up in the Amplified? Some weeks ago, it's been back in the fall now. Those of you who were here will remember that at some point you saw this thing called, we put it in our bulletin several weeks, Supernatural Finances at Good News Church. Did any of y'all ever see that? And not only did we have it in our bulletin several weeks, we had copies of it available out, well, over in the Resource Center and out front here. And what it was is basically following what Eddie said in the offering tonight, we were calling it like we wanted. It's what it was. We were calling it like we wanted it, and we did it based on Ephesians 3:20 that I just read to you. I'll read it in the Amplified. It says, now to him who by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest hopes, highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. And so based on that, Pastor Matt made a, for lack of a better word, a confession or a statement of our faith, a statement with which, you know, we could all gather, something we could gather around and agree and put in our mouth and say and call, like what Eddie was talking about, calling, you know, calling trouble and Sheba and Skippy and Spot, in the same way calling in what we needed in our lives. And this is what it was. At Good News Church, we are having breakthroughs in the financial area. We call in raises, promotions, added benefits, great jobs, good deals, inheritances, legal settlements. which is pretty much what you described. A legal settlement. Eddie had a legal settlement because there were people here in church. It wasn't just Eddie on his own. I thought about this when you were up there talking. It wasn't just Eddie on his own that was calling that in. He had a church. He had a body. He had a family that weren't even that, you know, we didn't even have knowledge it was going on, but yet we were agreeing with him. Praise God. Amen. This is awesome. It's going to get better in just a moment, y'all. Legal settlements. Found money and assets, property and goods selling, witty inventions, business ideas, the right employees, new paid for equipment, favor with people, debts paid or canceled, ideas to save money. Oh, well, didn't you just talk about that we were going to have a company come and for $3,200 they were going to do this? But God gave Kristen some ideas and some people were willing to help her and we saved $3,000. Woo! But this started in our mouths. Started in our mouths. Ideas to say, we have more seed to sow. We have more than enough bread to eat, enough to share generously with others. We have super abundantly more than we dare ask, think, hope, dream, or pray. We are living in EE 320. We declare this in the name of Jesus. All right, so y'all remember this. Some of y'all ever heard this before? Am I just making this? Okay, now, when I'm reading this, I bet... because it's, you know, how we talk. not the best word, I guess. I guarantee that somebody had something come to their mind and they thought, my goodness, well, I've had that happen in my life. Can anybody say you've had some of this happen, anything on here happen in your life that fits this?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I just wanted to read a couple that I know about. Crystal is not here tonight. Crystal Kendall. Are you here? No, you're not here. Crystal, speaking of Facebook, I read this on the Good News Church page in the last day or so. This is Crystal, because Terry just walked out. Terry was rejoicing with Crystal over her new job, and it says this, after I've been told repeatedly that I will never find a job here in Augusta that pays anywhere near what I was making in North Carolina, I received an offer from Strayer University as their admissions coordinator, making more than what I did in North Carolina. God is good. Amen. Do y'all see this?
Yes.
Now, Crystal, I know, has been believing God, but you know what? She wasn't just on her own.
That's right.
Gary, we were standing with her.
That's right.
We were a body together.
Right.
You see that? I'm telling you, that was good. And here, now look at this. Just a second. Carol Oswald is not even here in Augusta anymore, but she was part of the church family when we started with this, and she's still part of our family because the U.S. government reassigned them over there, but she left to Zachary, and she's going to be here in a couple of weeks to visit. So, and she's still on Facebook, brother. It says, just to share a testimony with my church family. I realized a few months back that I'd been dependent on my physical world, my husband, my family, etc., to provide finances to go back to school, and I was not relying on God. This has been holding me back for many years. So I decided to give it up to God and allow and expect Him to provide. I did not have any money, but I applied for college. I got accepted, and in the process, they moved 3 hours away from Augusta. I still had no idea how to pay for college. I still had no money, but I walked into the financial aid office on the day before classes, and it was all paid for. Simple as that. I owed no money, and I even had a $95 credit for books. God is amazing when you follow His leading. You know what? I just read that right here. Now, something unusual. Can you tell real fast? I haven't talked to you about it, but this whole thing about Nigeria, how crazy is that? You're going to have to hurry. We only got 4 minutes. You got to jump up here. Just because we got to open it up for somebody else.
Well, a friend of mine introduced me to a friend a while back, and basically, Nigerian trip was planned. She was not able to go.
It was a trip to go and do ministry in Nigeria and visit there.
Yeah, because
she planned it.
She's got half of her family still there and
okay.
Then half her family here. So they're actually part of a Catholic church, but it's actually an evangelistic type Catholic church that's even spirit-filled and everything. So,
sure.
So she was not able to go, and through me meeting her through another friend, they're like, well, Rachel would want to go, you know. And so I started talking to her about it, and I was like, you know, this doesn't seem real, you know, okay, I'm not sure about this, but basically, the whole trip is paid for. They're paying for my passport, they're paying for my visa, they're paying for my babysitting while I'm gone. It's 12 days. They've already hooked me up with all of her family. I've been communicating back and forth with her family that is over there, meeting everybody. And it'll be a vacation and a ministry at the same time, but it is just such an opportunity. And a couple of years ago, just quickly, this was like the biggest fear of my entire life, was to get on a plane. And I finally told God about 2 years ago, specifically for ministry, that I would do it, the opportunity it came up. And so through Carol and my job, I was able to get on a plane. And it was like a week after I had told God, okay, next opportunity. And so God helped me overcome that fear of getting on a plane, but still just the fear of, you know, getting on a plane going across the United States versus going across the world. And I'd have no fear.
Praise God.
Like, I'm so excited.
Praise God. Isn't that awesome? So somebody is giving, they were, had plans to go to Nigeria for 12 days for a missions trip and a vacation, and they couldn't go. So they, and it's a friend of a friend is doing this for Rachel. Rachel's got four little ones. A single mom with four kids. What single mom with four little kids gets to go and do something like this? They're giving her the trip and paying for somebody to keep her kids.
And her dad is the one that's basically paying for everything.
Yeah.
He's from Oklahoma. She lives in Atlanta. He came to Oklahoma, to Atlanta for something else, but he said that he wanted me to come up there. And I'm like, well, I don't have gas money to just drive up to Atlanta. And he's like, well, I'll pay for your gas money to come up here. And so I went up there and I met the whole family, and even family drove from an hour, 2 hours away that are from Nigeria too to come meet me.
Wow.
And they just celebrated me, and just, they were Aww. So excited about me, and they've already just said, you know, I'm their family.
Yeah, well, you are. Praise God. Isn't, I mean, that's astonishing. The Lord said to us, we're going to see astonishing blessings, and that's astonishing. And I just think, Fabiola, I think you've told this before, but Fabiola has gotten a job related to this. Yeah, I just, these lights are in my eyes. It's 8:15, I have to stop. But I'm telling you, if you had something pop up, just come and grab us and tell us real quick as soon as we end service. Because these things are happening, and I'm going to tell you, if they're happening for others among us, we are one body. We are one to get one. We are one. So you know what that means? If God's paying for education for Carol Oswald, you understand? It's in the family. Things are moving in the family. This same thing, it's not like God loves one part of the family more than the other. I'm so thankful to God. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's just rejoice for a moment. Woohoo! Glory to God. Father, we rejoice with just our brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. We rejoice for what you're doing in our lives. We just rejoice. You are so good. And again, Father, we thank you, not just for all you've done for us, but for each other. Thank you, Father, for this part of the body, this family that we have. And we thank you for what you're doing in us. And we just look ahead into what's starting here. I think it's already started, but what's starting here on Sunday with one, that there is one heart, one soul, one accord. We call it like we want it. One heart, one soul, one accord in Jesus' name. And Father, we just welcome your work among us and in us to bring us together. We welcome that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.